As you know, we're working up to our Friend Day as we're doing our 40 days of prayer and fasting. And so there is an invite card that you can be able to pick up. If you didn't get one yet, that you could be able to just invite somebody to Friend Day to make sure that we're trying to really help make a difference in people's lives. How many of you brought your life journal? You're carrying that with you this week? Okay, a few more hands. Good, good. Next week, more, I'm sure. I'm hoping you're finding things that are a part of that that are really speaking to your heart on a regular basis. Today, we're talking about how can a good God allow suffering? And I have to tell you that, you know, when we kind of put together the sermon series and try to look toward what it's going to be like, you know, I'm just reminded that God can plan ahead for what's needed in our lives at right at that moment. Little did we have any kind of an awareness that Brooke would be in heaven today as I prepared this series and not realizing that today would be the day that we'd be talking about it. But some of the scriptures that I'll be using, even today, I'm using this afternoon in the service, because the fact is that it's a question that comes to our minds that we all struggle with as we try to understand, how can a good God allow suffering? In fact, if there's a question that would be on the top of the list for most people, if you went out and talked on the street, and if you asked people, whether believers or not, and you would just say, what's like one of those questions that you don't get, you don't understand? This would be one of those that would come to the forefront right away, because it's really hard for us to be able to put all that together. We feel that if he's all powerful, why doesn't he do something? We feel if he's, you know, all knowing, why doesn't he do something? If he's all loving, why doesn't he do something? And then we start to think, maybe he's not one of those. Like, because why would this happen? And why would this continue? And so there are questions that come up, and I don't have a magic pill that's going to answer all your questions this morning. I can only say that based on what I understand and what I see in the Word of God, I want to share with you today as we can better hold on and take a glimpse of what God would want to teach us and show us through his word. If you could read this passage with me, I think it's a great passage, and I think that it's important for us to kind of lock it away in our own thoughts. Let's read it together. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us this morning that we might hear your voice. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at this, the question that comes to the forefront and to our minds is, how can a good God allow suffering? How can that happen? And how can that take place in each of our lives? What do we need? How do we respond to that? Well, first, as we look at his word, we understand God is infinitely wise. He is all-knowing. He's omniscient. So anything that takes place, he's aware of this. And so as we try to sort this out, we come back to the foundation of the Bible. And I really feel that that's like where we need to make sure we've got our focus and we've got our direction. There's no other way that we can be more clearly understanding than having a foundation in the Word of God and holding on to it. And that's why Scripture says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. He's not limited in understanding or in knowledge. We know, as a result, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. So everything that happens in our world, everything that takes place in our lives, God knows. And so we have to hold on to that. We have to come back to the scriptures, come back to the foundation of our belief, and rest in that. We also know that God is infinitely powerful. He is all powerful. He's omnipotent. And so that means there's no limitation in his ability to be able to work in power. Scripture says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power. His power goes beyond what we can even begin to understand. Job says, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. And so we know that the purpose of God can be fulfilled. He can work in ways that are powerful, that go beyond what we could even begin to understand. We also know that God is infinitely present. So he's all present, omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at the same time. That's why we can all pray at the same time, and he hears every one of us. We know that God is with us wherever we are, wherever we go. There's no limitation to that. And so you are never without God's presence. You are never at a point or place where God is not there. And that's why it, Scripture says in Job, once again, for God watches how people live. He sees everything they do. He watches how people live. He sees everything. No limitation to what God can do. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and the earth, says the Lord? Yes, yes. He is in all places at all times. And so that's the incredible power of the God that we serve. So he's also infinitely loving. And that's why it's so important that we would understand, yes, he is all powerful. He is all knowing and he is all loving in spite of what we may be facing. And that's why when we look at Scripture, he says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so God is like, that is God. He is love. He is fully capable and fully loving. And that's an important part that we would understand. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He paid the ultimate price that we could be able to have life. And so he laid down his life to love us that much. And so as we put all that together, we realize that where does all of this come from then? How does this happen? Well, there are two kinds of evil that are present in our world. And there is an important understanding in two ways that we can respond to that. One is there is a natural evil. Now, this is the evil that's produced through nature, as in floods and tornadoes and things that would come to us. Now, it's we really don't know to what extent that we have altered all of that is happening in our world and around us. I don't think we have any really full grasp or idea. All we know is this. When God created the heavens and the earth, when God created man, when he created all things, he declared that it was good. Absolutely. And so everything he created was good. So what man has done to it from that time on has been a result of our choices and some of those things that impact our world. I mean, we don't even know some of those things that come and the foods and our environment and all the things that are a part. We don't even fully know how much has been impacted by some of the choices that we have made or some of the processing and some of the things. So disease that comes and sickness, we don't even fully grasp all of that and how much is directly related to all those things. So I think there's probably much that we will learn and could know and will continue to become aware of. But there's a natural evil and there's also a moral evil. Now, because of free will, there is a moral evil. Now, this is evil inflicted on a person or a group by another person or a group. It said this accounts for 95% of the evil that's in our world. So you may be suffering because of someone else's immoral choices. There may be suffering that comes on you, even as a believer, because someone else has used their free will. And you say, well, why doesn't God just take away that? Well, if he took away that, there would be no consequences to our choices, which would be there would be no free will. Everything would just be planned. God designed us to have a free will, and with that comes choices, good and bad. And so even when people make, some make a wrong choice against us, we may be suffering because as a result of that. Now, sometimes we're suffering as a result of our own choices. And sometimes those things that are a part of our life and a part of our world, we've made choices that we're suffering for and have impacted us and are impacting others as well. And so there's a lot that would be learned and understood as we go through that. Now, there are several ways to respond. One is a response is logical and appeals to the mind and generally is not beneficial when someone is in the midst of pain. Most times when people are suffering, they don't want to really understand the logic. They want to be comforted. They just want somebody who cares. I want to say that it's so important that you would understand you don't have to have the right words to say to someone when they're going through a difficult time. In fact, I would almost advise you not to try to have the right words to say. Don't even say, because many times we stumble over our words and say things that are actually end up being hurtful and not even helpful at all. And so I would just encourage you, if you're not sure what to say, don't say anything, just be present. Just let them know you're praying for them. Let them know you care. A hand on a shoulder, just like simple kinds of ways they can express that your support and your love and your you are there. That's what's really important. Because if you all think about some of the terrible times that you've gone through, you probably don't even remember most of the words that people said. You probably remember the stupid things that people said. They stick out in our mind. But you probably don't remember all the great comforting things that you experienced. You just remember that kind of support. I can remember this one. When my dad passed that Sunday, we were having prayer, and I know that I was here, standing here, and I was praying. And as I was praying, Jeremy Rhodes put out his hand and stuck it on my shoulder. I remember that, like, significantly, because he didn't say anything, didn't do anything, but I knew I had someone who was praying for me. Now, that stands out in my mind from that time. And that's just because somebody cared and somebody reached out. Now, those are the kinds of things that are meaningful. Not, I can't remember what a lot of people said, but I remember that. Were there words? No. Were there anything? No. But it was just, I could feel that support and that love. That's why I'm saying, don't think that you have to have the right words. Just realize that a second response is more feeling-based, appeals to the emotions. Most people in pain have a hard time listening to logic. The wounded really want comfort. That's what we want. And so at some point when it's all settled down and emotionally it's that, you may want to talk about it and the logic piece may be important then. But generally not at the time of pain. That's not the time. You just need to be a support and to be present. Philip Yancey says, maybe sometimes God keeps us in the dark about why, not so much because he wants to keep using the dark, as because he knows we are incapable of absorbing so much light. It's just sometimes hard for us to totally grasp this. In response to Job's questions, for God to try to explain the kinds of things Job wants explained would be like Einstein explaining relatively to a little neck clam. I have to say, first service, I have no idea how it went through my head, but I said a redneck clam. And I don't even know what they look like. But I almost couldn't recover after that. I'm just saying. I'm sure it'll come back to bite me. They have ways of keeping things on video and using them against me. That's probably one of those that will happen. Anyway, just the idea of seeing the difference that we just aren't capable of understanding. Yes. There's a great importance. Now, God will always use the trials and suffering that come into our lives. He will always use. You just need to be aware of that. Now, but he can only use it if you choose for him to use it. That's a matter of your part, of your free will. How are you going to respond to the trials that come to your life? How are you going to handle those? How are you going to deal with the hurt or the pain that is a part? And so there are several ways. First, God uses them to build patience, character, and faith. Absolutely. Absolutely. God will use whatever comes to us to build patience, character, and faith. And so that's going to be an important part of your understanding. Here's what Scripture said. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character. And for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So all of those are all part of the way that God wants to work in our lives through the trials that come. But it's going to be a matter of your choice. You've seen people that have gone through incredibly difficult times, and they they're amazing. Then you've seen others who have gone through times that aren't as difficult, and they just become bitter and angry. And it's nothing that's helping. And so it's all a matter of how are you going to choose to view what's happening in your life. And so the fact is, God may use them to discipline. Sometimes the pain that comes to us is a result of God disciplining us. We don't always like to think about that, but it's true because Scripture tells us God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. And so there's a realization. Sometimes I've wandered in my faith, I've wandered away from God. God needs to discipline us and brings things into our life to help us to come back to Him and realize where we need to be. So sometimes that's the result. And you know, you have a choice about how you're going to respond to even God's discipline. The fact is, we don't spank a whole lot in our culture anymore, but I can tell you from firsthand experience, the best place to be when you're being spanked as close to the spanker as possible. They can't do very much to you when you're right up next to them. So that's just a good thing to remember for your children. But here's what happens. The closer, when we're being disciplined, if we pull near to God, He has that kind of support and strength to give to us as well. And so there's a great importance of realizing that sometimes when we go through difficulty, it's a discipline. In fact, my mom used to have arthritis, and I can remember she would try to spank us, and she would hit us and go, "Oh!" And it really hurt her more than it did us, because it didn't really hurt us that much. God may use them to build dependence on Him. And so that's also how He would work through our struggles or our pain or our difficulty. Each time He said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." Paul was asking for that thorn to be removed. Whatever that suffering part was that he was experiencing, can't you just take it away? And God said, "No, I'm with you. I'm with you." That's what you need to remember. And sometimes, like we would pray, "Lord, just take away this pain." And He's saying, "No, I'm with you. I'm with you. That's all you need to know. My grace is going to be all you need." God will always use them to help us become more like Jesus. So no matter what the pain and struggle that we're going through, please know He can always use them to help us become more like Him. Because He said God knew His people in advance. He chose them to become like His Son. And so that's the importance. He's trying to make us look like Jesus. So whatever you're going through, you can choose, is this going to help me look like Jesus? And I'm going to choose to say yes to let Him work in my life, whether it's natural evil or moral evil. Maybe someone else has inflicted this upon me, and you can be bitter and angry and resentful about them and what they've done, or you can say, "Lord, I want you to use this in my life, even that pain, to help me become more of what I need to, trusting you, depending on you, and letting you work in my life." God will always use them to help us comfort others, always. Whenever we go through a pain, who speaks to your pain best? somebody who's been through it? Who knows what it is when you've lost a child better than someone who's lost a child? Who understands the battle you're going through in cancer than somebody who's been through cancer? That's why Cancer Hope is such a vital ministry that we have here. It's a great ministry because all the leadership of Cancer Hope are cancer survivors, and they've all been through that, and they want to be a support and a help. That's why, you know, the scripture says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. And so that's exactly what he'll use. Now, God will also use them to bring glory to him. So whatever we're facing, if we can be able to allow God's Spirit to work in us, it'll bring glory to God. One of the things that I loved watching in Brooke's life as was the fact that she was so intentional about letting God get the glory as he worked through her life. And so that's what I really feel that's all about. How is God going to work through this? Because the trials, the suffering, they're temporary. They're temporary. But what happens for eternity, that's the eternal stuff that we need to be aware of. So as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. Yes, it's an important part of understanding. And lastly, sometimes we just don't know. It's just, that's reality. We just don't know. I don't think we have to have the answers to everything. I don't think I have to be able to, because you know what? Answers don't always give people the responses that they want. Many times people are just using that as excuses. The fact is there are sometimes we won't have an answer, we just have to trust. Because I have to just say, I don't know, I don't understand. I wish I could give you more understanding, but I just have to trust. And I know that's where I'm going to find my greatest strength. You know what the scripture says? My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. That's good news. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Okay, you can't even imagine. You can't even, it's even on your best day, you can't even get close to thinking about it. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so many ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So what do we know? Jesus made a promise that's not always welcomed, right? Here's the promise. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have, trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. See, you may have peace. You may. What's the exception? It's your choice. It's available to you. He's made it available, but it's your choice. Watch this testimony.
I was born in April of 1975 with a condition known as Dogen-Harris syndrome. It affects people in different ways, but it causes craniofacial deformities. In my case, I was born without a right ear, lung, or thumb. In addition, I am missing some of the bones on the right side of my face, including my right jawbone. This gives my face an asymmetrical appearance. I was born with a cleft lip and a cleft palate. I was also born with an atrial septal defect, which is a hole between the top two chambers of the heart. When I was 7 years old, I came to know Jesus as my personal Savior. I was sitting in my bedroom, cleaning out a desk drawer, and I came across a little magazine entitled Good News. It was a little booklet that had been handed out to the children at church and explained the plan of salvation in words that a child can understand. I started reading it and I realized that the book was talking about me. I read scriptures such as Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then I read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I can't begin to describe the joy that I felt. I knew that Jesus was in my heart. Although I grew some as a Christian in the years following my salvation, a major growing time for me was the summer of 1986 when I had my scoliosis surgery. I spent 2 terrified days in the ICU because I required constant nursing care. I couldn't talk because the tube was in my throat. And anyone who knows me really well knows that I love to talk, so I was pretty upset. I thought that no one had to go through the things that I had to, and that life just was not fair. However, I quickly learned that my situation was nothing in comparison to that of some of the other children who were in that ICU. Most of those kids were critically ill. Many were in a coma or were dying, and the nurses were attempting life-saving measures. I knew that if things continued as they were, that one day all of my kids would come out, and then I would be able to leave the hospital. I realized that I could thank God for the precious gift of life itself. A saying goes, the same sun that hardens clay melts wax. This is true. There is no change or variation in the sun itself. It's just the way the clay or wax responds. Trials and sufferings will harden some, just like breakable clay baking it in bitterness and resentment. The same circumstances can melt others, teaching them patience and endurance. It's the way we respond to those trials that makes all the difference. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. I love that hymn even today because it expresses perfectly the way I feel. Let me close by telling you the words. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I praise Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Thank you.
You may not have been able to understand all her words, but you couldn't miss her spirit. In spite of all that she had faced and all that she had gone through, her faith was trusting God. And she trusted Jesus. So easy for us to lose focus of what goes on in our life. One, we know that we will all have trouble. Maybe you're facing it now. Maybe you're going through something now. Maybe it's something you'll be going through, or maybe it's something you've just come through. But at some point or place, we all have trouble. The fact is, as we look at Scripture, it says we will all have choices of how we handle the trouble. You can either become bitter or better. So when the struggles come to your life, what choice are you doing? What choice are you focusing on? Because it's really a matter of how we're going to focus and what you're going to look to and what you're going to be looking after as a result. We all have the option of peace. He said, you may have peace. You may have peace. It doesn't mean you will unless you receive that, unless you trust in God to bring that to you as you're walking through those times. And no matter what the trial or suffering, we've got to remember it's temporary, as Jesus has overcome it for each of us. So what do we need to do? Fix our eyes on Jesus. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles. We don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, But the things we cannot see will last forever. I'm going to have prayer for you in closing. I know some of you are going through some very difficult places, some hard times, some suffering, some things that don't make sense and that you don't have answers to. But I know some of you would like to say, you know, I want to mark this as a time that I'm just going to say, Lord, it's yours. I'm going to trust you. I want to be better, not bitter. And I'm going to trust you for what you're going to do in my life. If that's the case, would you stand right where you are? I'd just like to have a closing prayer for you. Maybe you're going through a time, maybe something difficult. Maybe there's stuff that is a part of your life, but just stand right where you are because I want to have prayer for you in closing because God has been speaking to your heart as I've shared this morning, and you've been saying, yes, I really need to trust him. Oh, to trust him more. And I just want to rely on him as my help, my strength, and all that I am. I want to know that he's got this, and I just want to put it into his hands and say, Lord, here it is. I'm trusting you for what you're going to do. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one that is standing. You know what's a part of their life. You know what they're going through. You know all that's there, and Lord, you know from beginning to end, you know exactly what's needed for each one of us. Lord, we want to trust you. We want to rely on you. We want to know that your strength is sufficient for the needs of our lives. We want to know that you're in control, that you've got this, and you can be able to work through this. And so no matter what has been a part, and no matter what we've experienced, or no matter what, we just want to trust you with it, Lord. And so we put it into your hands. We're resting in you, relying on you, knowing that you're going to work in all things. Let's all stand together. Father, I ask that you would go with us. Maybe there's a time that we're going through even right now. Maybe it's something we've been through. Maybe it's something we're going to be facing. But Lord, remind us of your words, even as we've shared them today, that we might walk in faith, growing in you. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless you and go with you. Thank you.